Praise God. I just want to take one or two things from the scriptures we read. As I said just now, we are not here to mourn the day of Jesus Christ's death, because Jesus Christ was purposed to come and be born as a man. And he was purposed to live alive and to die on the time when he has accepted the last calling of his. He is born the Son of God. He had all the blessings. The last calling of his was to become a priest. And he became a priest at the age of 30. And after the age of 30 only he can become a priest. After he has taken the Jewish way of taking a priesthood, then he set on his mission trip. Now his mission trip, you'll find there are two things I want to talk about tonight. First of all, he said, finished. It's finished. It's a word commonly used by many of us. It's a word used by many people in many churches today. But what does this finish mean? What did he come to accomplish and finish? He has come to accomplish something and his mission has been completed and is finished. Number one, if you read back the scriptures, what the first Adam did, disobey the word of God, the voice of God, the second Adam fulfilled it when he obeyed the voice of God and purposed what God has purposed in his life and went on the cross. He's completed that. What the first Adam has failed, when Adam in the Garden of Eden, when he did not listen to God, disobeyed God's word. Now, the Son of God has to fulfill it on the cross for us. For many centuries, the curse which was put upon this man, Adam, went on again and again and again, generation after generation. It was time God has to come and complete that, what he has said he will do. And he has finished it. He's completed it. He obeyed the Father in heaven to the cross. He did not just walk there. He had an opportunity two times, I would say, if you see the scriptures, that he says, no, I don't want to do it. When the devil tempted him, he could have said, okay, I will do it. But he didn't do it. The second time in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was fighting with the spirit and his flesh, the flesh was overcoming him. The spirit was weak. And he was crushed at the time in the Gethsemane. And he really, really could have said, no, God, I can't do it now. I can't really do it now. Moses, if you look at him, he was given a mission. If you look in Exodus chapter 1 and 2 on goods, he was given a mission. When God was discussing with him, he was giving an excuse that he should not be the one going up to save the Israelites in Egypt. He gave an excuse. But Jesus did not give an excuse here. Even to the end, he obeyed because the first Adam disobeyed. Obedience is one of those things which the church teaches about. Obedience in the house. Obedience in church. Obedience in authority. God is seeking us to do that as Christians. We should be an example of obedience before we talk to others outside and say, you all are disobeying. We should have that exemplary life of Jesus Christ of obedience at whatever cost, so that we will have that same lifestyle of Christ of obedience upon the world. Amen. And we can be an example for others. Jesus was the best example of obedience in the scripture. You can see all the prophets who've come. They always shivered some or other. You have seen many prophets. They went through their times. But this Son of God, he went through everything which no prophet has gone through. But he went through everything up on the cross. It's finished. It's completed. It's completed that what was lost is now redeemed to the Father in heaven. What was lost from the Father when the first Adam, he disobeyed, there was a curse of death upon him. There was spiritual death upon him. What was said at the time now is now redeemed. There was a separation within the creation of God, of the image of God and the God who created. There was a separation. Now God, through the Son of God, he has brought back this separation and brought back harmony within the Father and the children of his. Second thing he has accomplished is to bring back the lost sheep, the lost children of God, back to the loving hands of the Father. The scripture also here talks about today, about it was darkness. Darkness prevailed. How long do you think Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross there? How long? Can anyone say? He was hanging up there from 6 o'clock, from the third hour until the ninth hour. For 6 hours he was hanging up there. And this was after scourged. He was scourged the whole night. I don't think all this could have been done overnight. I believe the Christ was captured probably one day before that. And he went through all this scourging and everything else. And after all has been drained out from him, and the flesh oozing out from him, right? Flesh coming out, sticking out from him. Some of the flesh were missing on him. At this time, he's carrying the cross and goes up, and he's crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning, at the third hour, and the 12th hour until the 6th hour to the 9th hour, from 12 o'clock noon to 9 o'clock, from 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was darkness. What was happening in this darkness? What was actually going through in this darkness? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 23 says that he took the sin of all of ours. He took the sin of all of ours, put on himself, and he took away every penalties we are supposed to go through. Everything that we are supposed to go through, we are supposed to be punished before God. We are supposed to be thrown into hell. We are supposed to be done all these things, whatever God has given in all those commandments, we have got to go through it. But Jesus saved us from all those punishments, and his grace and his mercy was fall upon us. Amen? So brothers and sisters, as we come today, we take Christ so easily, and we say, oh, Christ has died for us, so simple. But this Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, who took the image of a man and came into flesh, had to go through all this, which none of us can repay him back. Amen? None of us can repay back. We can live for 100 years if God gives. We can't repay back what he has done for us. Amen? The third thing I want to talk about is the veil was torn into two, from the top to the bottom. What was behind the veil all the time? What was behind the veil? The Holy of Holies. It was torn from the top to the bottom so that there was this connection of the children of God to the Father directly. What is behind the curtain was the tabernacle. And the mercy seat was exposed to all of us. And upon the mercy seat is what? Is the glory of God dwindling there? That's what the Bible says. So when upon the mercy seat is where God's glory rests. And that's what the priest, every year, they wait for their Lord time to go inside and incense the Holy of Holies. They get once in their lifetime. Not every day. Once in their lifetime. And they draw lots for that. And the person who goes inside, one of them was the man whose wife was barren, Elizabeth. Do you know him? And he could not, he was speechless. That is the place we are talking about. And no man can enter that place. And before that place is the showbread and all the sacrifice done. What does this curtain talks about? The curtain talks about every year the atonement which was done, the Feast of Atonement, where they will slaughter the lamb, unblemished lamb, which is they take the sprinkle of it and they'll put it onto the curtain. Now there is no more atonement. The blood of Christ was enough. Every laws of satisfying him, it's already been enough. Jesus done it. The blood of Jesus Christ is once and for all done. And there is none. That is why it was torn from the top to the down. It is not storming within that we can peek through and see where is the glory of God. It was done from the top to the bottom and it split through. And I pray today when we say we see the mercy and the grace of God now right in front of us through the Son of God, what a sacrificial thing he has done for us, that we will not just take it for granted. That we will not take it for granted from now on. That God's presence in our life, God's love for us, God's mighty love for us, was shown through Christ Jesus. And none of us can pay him back. Today is not to mourn, but to understand his word. To understand what Jesus is speaking to us about. What God the Father is speaking to us about his love, about his mercy, about his grace. Many of us say, it's okay to sin. But after knowing God, after knowing Christ, what he has done, we will refrain from sin. Why? The word of God says in Mark chapter 14. Pardon. Mark, let's see. 14. You'll see that Christ, on the night before he died, he instituted the supper. And he said, this is A new covenant I make with you. What is this new covenant he talks about? What is this new covenant he talks to us? Amen. 14, Mark chapter 14, verse 24. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Today, brothers and sisters, as we come together, we say this every week after week. But let us see what is the new covenant he's making with us. It's a new covenant. When you make a new covenant, the old covenant is already gone. And now there is a new covenant inside us. This new covenant that God has given us, that through Christ's blood, we can enter the Holy of Holies. Amen. It's not by ourselves. It's not by anything. Through the Christ covenant, the covenant that the blood of Christ, through His blood, that we can enter the Holy of Holies. Because the Holy of Holies, the curtain which was split into two, now is exposed to all of us. Amen. And I pray today that when we come, what was this for? He said, it is not done for me alone. For generation after generation is done. This is done for every person who is born, who believes in Christ Jesus, accept Him Savior, and He is done for us. He has done it for the person. He can come before the mercy seat. He can come before the grace of God, and it will flow right to him. Amen? And we are one of them. We are one of them. But today it's sad to say, there are many of them outside there who do not know Christ. Many of them do not know Christ. There are three reasons why people do not know Christ outside. Number one, we are self-contained and we are self-satisfied in churches. We are self-conscious and self-satisfied in churches. We sit in through and through, and we are happy that we can come to church. It's a fulfillment that you want to do in your life, in our life. That includes me too. That's one of the requirements that I must be as a Christian, to go to church every now and then, that I fulfill it. That Christ has died for me, I must fulfill going to church. Whatever it is, I must go to church and do whatever tithing I must do, and I must take the communion and come back. That's it. We're contented. We are not expanding. Number two, those who are going outside, they are fearful of speaking the word of God. There is a fear put inside them. I do not know why. The boldness of speaking the word of God does not come out when they are with friends and people outside. They want to say, they want to speak, but that boldness has not come into them to speak the word of God. Then you have to question ourselves, is the Spirit in us? Because the Spirit of God is a spirit of boldness. Amen? The Spirit of God gives us boldness. He gives us the right to speak to others. If I have received something, the jewel I have received, today there are many people who call me up and say, Pastor, the thing which you have sold about last time, the gold price has gone up to the highest now. You know, it's just going up and down there, you know. Is it going up further? That's what they're interested. The pressure of gold is nothing compared to what Jesus Christ has done for us. There are many people who do not know the treasure of Christ's love. There are many of us who do not know how to express this Christ's love to others. Because the spirit of boldness is not in us. Number three is because the missionaries go out there, they're lacking of funds. There are many of us who talk, yes, we must go out, do it, yes. But they are lacking of funds out there in the front line. And there are a lot, some of them are in the rain, some of them are about some pastors I met recently, they're giving up their mission calling. Why? Because there's not enough lacking of fun. And this pastor has got to go to work to feed his family. Why? We are just contented with what we are. And I pray, brothers and sisters, today we come here to church not to moan, but to know the liberation that Jesus Christ has brought to us. The liberation that Jesus Christ has brought to us. The thing that He's brought to us is the intimacy with the Father. And when He shouted out, He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can you just imagine? All the while, He says, Jesus says, what my Father does, I see and I do. What my Father say, I hear and I speak. And suddenly this time that you see the Father has withdrawn His hands away from Him, and His darkness has fell upon this whole earth for 3 hours. For 3 hours, this man who was sitting there up was hanging on the cross, suddenly realizes he doesn't have that Father's love. His Father's love was taken away from him. His Father's strength was taken away from him. The Holy Spirit which was working in him was taken away from him. Everything was taken away. And he was crying for these 3 hours. What was happening? Not only his physical body became so weak and be painful, but his mental torture he went through for what he's going to go through further, that created so much for him that he called out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, in our life, and me included, there are times we say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why is this happening into my life? We cry out and say, my God, why is it forsaken? But many times, it's just a little bit. Father God has not taken away his hands away from us. He just allows certain things to happen in our life so that we learn a lesson. But what we do is, my God, what's happening to me? But sometimes when we say, my God, it sometimes is with doubts. But truly, Jesus did not feel the presence of God at that time. Truly, no man can describe what he went through. No measurement, if you call about doctors or scientists, they've got all those measurements, how to measure people's emotions or whatever it is. But nobody can measure the torment he went through in his heart for him to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is the first time that God has taken his hand out of him. So that everything that we have gone through in our life, every of our sins, every of the sins of the man was taken onto him and was crucified on the cross that night. Brothers and sisters, today let's do something different today. Let's do something with our heart. We know what Jesus Christ has done for us. There are many outside there who do not know Jesus Christ. We don't want to take a collection today for the sake of the church. And this Sunday also, we don't want to take a collection for the church. We want to take a collection for the mission outside. We want to take a collection this time and say we don't want to be in a comfortable zone, that we want to sacrifice something for the mission work outside. There are people going out in rain, sitting in small sheds in Sarawak and all those places. And going out, not only in Sarawak, Myanmar and many other countries. China, they're going out deep into the jungle. There are people who are going out into India, deepest place where they're persecuted. Let's not just take it for the church, but let's take it for the mission work that we are enjoying today in this church here, that we're also parted with somebody outside there, and they can receive Jesus Christ because the gospel can be preached to them, and the gospel can be given to them free of charge. They don't have to pay because they're struggling in the jungle or in the place of poverty. Let's pray for them today. Let's see the liberty and liberation God has brought to us. Let's share it with these people outside of the world. Let's share it. Not only that, you'll become bold from today onwards. And what Jesus Christ had said, is it okay for us to have received a slap just because of Jesus Christ? I believe it's okay with me. If somebody slaps me because I speak about Jesus Christ, it's okay. Because the word of God says that. There'll be many. Some were crucified. Some were slaughtered. Some were tortured before death. What is that that we cannot give the joy that we have received of liberation to others? Brothers and sisters in this church, I pray that you will have a mindset which will change from now on. Let's not have a shock sundry attitude from now on. Happy doing something. We're happy doing this. See whether it's by the Spirit of God and led by the Spirit of God. And whether we are going to do something which will affect the kingdom of God, or is it going to affect my personal glory? Amen. Let's see that today from today onwards. And I pray this church will grow mightily. And I pray this church will grow mightily. And I'm waiting for until next few days' time. I'll release that there will be other churches joining us together. And they'll have more pastors in this church. And I pray that will come to pass soon. Amen. Praise God. And I pray today, not only are we going to take communion together today, but we want to take a collection. I want to give personally myself. And if those of you want to give for the mission work outside, please do. That this word that is given to us, somebody will preach it outside. Somebody will buy this gospels and give it to them. We have committed last Sunday that we are going to commit to buy on the AGM, that we are going to commit to buy the Tagalog, different types of Bibles in different Sarawak language and Sabah languages that we'll give to them, and that they will be able to read the word of God, and somebody will speak the word of God there. Amen? Father, we just want to thank you for this emblem, Lord. As this emblem goes forth, Father, we remember that you said, Lord, whatever is done, Father, is done according to your plans. It was completed. It's finished on the cross. And we remember that, Lord, today. We recall what you have said, Lord. It's finished, completely finished. We pray, Father God, we'll walk righteous from now on, Lord, knowing that you're a God of righteousness, knowing that a God of fulfillment. And I thank you, Father, this emblem will do its part today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Mark chapter 14. Verse 22 onwards. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Lord, we just want to thank you, Father, for what you've done for us, Father. Thank you, Lord, you're willing to come on as a man in the flesh, but committed no sin. Yet he went on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Even as we recollect today, help us to give this joy to somebody else. Help us to understand, Father God, what is being born again is like. Help us to experience the born again, a new man, a new concept, a new life, a new thinking, a new way of living in the Spirit. Help us, Lord, today. As we recall the day that you liberated us on the cross, as Moses raised the serpent on the cross, so must the man of God, Son of God, raised up on the cross, so that many shall live. Lord, it's your death, but it's the beginning of our living, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, that you die for the sake of us to live an eternal life. We thank you, Lord, that you took upon everything on yourself and died so that we will live. We'll live an eternal life with you in the heavenly. We thank you, Lord. Lord, and as we come, Lord, we remember that your body was not crushed, but your body was pierced, scourged, slapped, spat upon, crowned with thorns, stripped. It went through so much of shame, so much agony, just for our sake. So that our thoughtful life will be a righteous life. Our sickness will be taken away in believing in you, trusting you. By your blood, you purchased our sins and cleansed us with your precious blood. From darkness, you brought us light, Lord. You brought us to your light by your blood. We want to thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, today, at this time, as we remember this year 2011, we'll never be the same. Our thoughts, our life will never be the same. It's to live for you in this world, so that we shall be a reflection of you in this world, that we shall see the things that you do and we will do, and we'll see and hear the things that you say and we'll speak. Our ways will be carved by you, Lord. You will put us, Lord, in the right way from today onwards. For we are a new man in you. We have this new covenant, Lord. We remember today. And we want to thank you for this new covenant you've given us. Lord, we just want to thank you, Father, for whatever you've done for us. Even as we partake of this body and body and this blood, we pray today, Father God, sickness will flee, guilt will go away. We shall stand in front of you, Lord. And with your blood, Lord, and by your blood, we will enter the throne room, the seat of mercy seat, and see the glory of God shining. And we will not want to cover, Lord, our face like Moses did, because Moses couldn't comprehend. But Lord, you helped us. We can comprehend the glory of God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Because of you, we live, Lord. Because of you, we live. So we want to live for you, Lord, in this world. Thank you, Jesus. Let's partake of the body of Christ. And remember, his body was just not ordinary body. A body which was painful with all the scourges is given to us. So that we can be all wholesome. In Jesus' name. Let's partake of the blood. The cup reminds us that we are cleansed today. Even for the sins that we have committed within the last time, we ask for forgiveness. There is assurance that, Lord, by his blood, we can go to the throne room. We can approach the throne room. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for this blood. It was shed for us once and for all mankind. Whosoever believes in you and partake of it will life eternal. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's partake as a family. Amen. Glory to God.